Education is the bedrock of a thriving society. It empowers individuals to reach their full potential and contributes to economic growth and social progress. However, millions of children around the world, especially in Nigeria, are denied the opportunity to receive quality education due to factors such as poverty, gender, and poor teacher quality, amongst others. Technology can play a critical role in bridging the education gap and reaching last-mile learners. However, to achieve this, we need to build sustainable partnerships that leverage the expertise and resources of various stakeholders in the education sector. In this podcast, we will explore the power of collaborations in transforming education in Nigeria. We'll discuss the different types of collaborations that are needed, the challenges with building effective partnerships, and how to measure the impact of sustainable collaborations. And we'll be listening to insights from an expert in education who will share from his experience best practices for developing and sustaining successful partnerships. So join me in welcoming to this show Abdullahi Bature, the CEO and founder of Skoola. Skoola is an edtech startup that builds tools that supports educators in primary and secondary schools to improve the learning experiences and outcomes of their learners. Welcome, Abdullahi. It's good to have you here.
Thank you, Abigail. Good morning, everyone. I'm excited to be here.
How is the weather over there in Kaduna?
Kaduna is great. In fact, today I'm in Yola, you know, going around doing the business of taking the tools to teachers and to schools.
Preaching the gospel of quality education across Nigeria.
That would be very, very hard, preaching the gospel. Everybody will tell you they have quality education, you know. But our business is building the tools that make that, you know, job of imparting learning enjoyable, enjoyable for students and enjoyable for the teachers and even the school owners.
Okay. Thank you, Abdullahi. We'll still come back to learn more about how Skoola views these tools and how exactly they support educators in delivering quality education. But first, we'd want to know a little bit about you and what sparked your interest in pursuing a career in education technology.
Okay, so my full name is Abdullahi Muhammad Bature, and I'm one of three co-founders of Skoola. We live here in northern Nigeria, where education is constantly under attack, where students are recording some of the poorest grades, you know, in the country. When we did a research, we realized it is not that the kids are not smart. It is not that the kids, you know, don't go to good schools. It was a problem of obsolete curriculums and a shortage of quality teachers. They felt that the curriculum is not up to par, because I don't want to use the words that are going to come out of my mouth, but they felt that the curriculum is not working for them, so they don't care and they don't even try. And that's why you have gross, you know, underperformance. They hardly respect their teachers, right? They felt the curriculum that their grandfather and their father learned in school is what they're trying to teach them. And with access to technology and information everywhere, they see that this is not what is going to help me in the future. And so these kids don't care. And I think that's why we wanted to do something about it. So I studied computer science in school, and my two co-founders are very, very technical people. We have a technology hub in Kaduna. During the COVID lockdowns, we wanted to build a solution that keeps the doors of learning open. And we built a gamified mobile app that rewards the students for doing schoolwork. That was the start. And I'm happy to say, you know, we are enjoying it. I was one on the team that said, let's build for education, because I worked with Intercontinental Schools in Kano way back in 2013. I was the director of the Microsoft IT Academy program there. And then I was doing director of IT for them, you know, setting up their first website, trying to get them to move into technology. And I would say it's a very, you know, beautiful ride for me so far.
Thank you so much, Abdullahi, for sharing that much about yourself and what sparked your interest in pursuing a career in education. For some of our listeners who do not know about Skoola, we already talked about how you build tools that support educators and also how you started building gamified curriculum for kids during the COVID pandemic. So what more do we need to know about Skoola? What's your mission? What's your vision in the next few years? What kind of changes should we see with Skoola in the Nigerian edtech space?
Thank you, Abigail. So in 2020, we wanted to build a solution, and we sat down to think, you know, what are the ones that are existing, and what have they done, and what can we do? So we wanted to build a platform that was ready to scale since at the very beginning. You know, the very first day, we built our flagship solution, that is the gamified mobile app. It was powered by a content agnostic, you know, LMS. Content agnostic in the sense that we believe that every school was unique, and they have the unique lessons. So we asked them to upload their lessons. And the fun thing is that our gamified mobile app will turn that content into a fun and engaging way for their kids to learn. But we got deeper and saw that the problem is a lot of teachers are not tech savvy, and they spend a lot of time creating lessons, a lot of hours into lesson preparation, lesson planning, getting assessment questions, so much so that they need to, you know, maybe scour online and get, you know, existing lesson plans and just share with their students. So the uniqueness was not there, and then we're seeing a decrease in number of active users. So we embedded an AI. In 2020, we embedded an AI into our Skoola platform to help them generate questions from their uploaded notes. And now with generative AI and advance in technology, we built a tool that is at the forefront of all our solutions called Cori AI, that just short form from curriculum and artificial intelligence. It helps teachers create notes, create lesson plans, and create assessment questions effortlessly. Now, the task that usually takes teachers more than 1 hour, 30 minutes, now they can do it in a remarkable 2 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. So you could go to, you know, you could go to our website, landing page, cori.skoola.app, cori.skoola.app, and I promise you, you'll be able to create an account and create your first lesson in under 2 minutes. So that's what we've done, saving the teachers a lot of time so that they can focus on the most important thing, that is, you know, delivering these lessons. Now, we didn't stop there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't stop there. We still had that mindset of building something that works for all. Today, if you create these lessons, you can share it across multiple edtech platforms. In fact, you can share it across onto Google Classroom and any edtech company that is willing to, you know, integrate with our solution. And we're working to get these partnerships. You can share your created lesson from Cori to the Skoola LMS to Google Classroom, etc. And that's the future we're seeing education going. As for our vision, is that we want to be the go-to platform for agnostic content generation, agnostic local content generation. The platform that if you are in Kenya, you can go and create your lessons and it will come with local examples and local names. If you are in Abuja, if you are in Lagos, the names will come with more Yoruba names and Igbo names than it will come with, you know, names from Yola or any other town. So our AI is learning as the teachers are uploading resources, as they are tweaking and changing their content. So that's our ultimate vision. And we hope we get the right partners to get to where we're going.
Wow, thank you so much. That's really huge. And when you say agnostic, what do you mean with regards to what you do? That word agnostic.
So agnostic means we don't have any single content on Skoola. We don't create content, right? So it comes in empty. You know, when something is agnostic, it's empty and anything can fit in. Right. So, yes, agnostic is such a strong word. I wanted to stop using it. But that's when you hear, for example, in sectors, you hear sector agnostic means any sector will work. That's what we're seeing. Any content will work on our platform, right? So we want to be that you bring your content in Arabic, it supports it. Bring it in French, it supports it, right? So that's the solution we're sort of looking to build. Curriculums, multiple curriculums, contents, different contents.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for expatiating on that. And building on what you said about the vision of Skoola, I just want to get your own perspective. What's an ideal education system to you, looking at the situation in Nigeria? And how has it shaped your perspective on collaborations that are required in education?
Well, to see it in a practical sense, you need the government, you know, as very important players that put in policies, right? That make, you know, the playing field, or should I say the sector.
What's your ideal education system for Nigeria?
Okay. I want to just do as if I didn't hear you and say this spiky point of view that we believe here at Skoola. We believe that brick and mortar schools are obsolete and that technology is the only way to teach the 21st century child. Mm-hmm. Because these children already spend more than 6 hours online every day, right? They spend more time with their gadgets than they would with their friends and family. It's when you don't have light or there's no internet that you get to see people connecting. So, you know, we're not yet there in Nigeria. We need policies in place. We need players, different tech companies focusing on particular, you know, solutions that they will build. I'll give you an example. I read a report that says one district in the US uses 2,571 different edtech tools to run.
That's huge.
Fantastic. 2,571. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine. Every edtech company can focus on building one particular solution, but then there's a way they come together to serve the people.
And that's right? The collaboration.
And the complaints I've been getting. Fantastic. So, recently I went to a school in Abuja. They all want to go full digital, but the people, the quality assurance people that will come, they say, where is your register? They need to see it ticked and marked. And their teachers were already taking biometrics and all. If they generate their lessons and lesson plans via Skoola, for example, they'll say, bring the hard copy and the handwritten. So you see where, you know, the future, the government will, even if EdTech, you know, pushes, the government has to be at the forefront, you know, regulating and doing policies that makes it easy for us to continue to build.
Yeah, before we go further into the kind of collaborations we need, you said something that really caught my attention when you're talking about what an ideal education system means to you. And in the context of Nigeria, you talked about the fact that brick and mortar schools are obsolete and technology is the way forward for education in Nigeria. Now, I want to put it back to you to say Nigeria houses the highest number of out-of-school children in the world. And that's about 20 million people, according to UNICEF. Now, building on that and the fact that brick and mortar schools are now obsolete, technology really has a lot of potential in helping kids learn wherever they are at whatever time. But the new terminology that is coming up to say that even though technology has that potential, there is edtech elitism. In CCO, there was a report on edtech elitism that was released some weeks ago, and it was really an interesting read for me, where they were talking about how even though technology has the potential to reach any learner anywhere and at any time, the digital divide is still a big problem. So where do we go from here? If brick and mortar schools are already obsolete, what kind of collaborations do we need to ensure that technology provides access, inclusion, and equity in education for last mile learners?
Okay, so a good one, good one. So I would say this, that old habits die hard, mm-hmm. right? From our research, you know, when we were trying to get our schooler to the public schools in Kaduna, we realized that 80% of teachers in the public schools have a smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the complaint will be that what everybody's going to say is that, you know, this problem of infrastructure, you know, this problem of data, this problem of, I don't think that's a problem. I swear to you, it is the solution that is the problem. Right? So let me explain further, right? If 80% of teachers have smartphones, I'm sure the 80% of them do WhatsApp.
Yeah.
So is internet a problem? I'm sure wherever they are, there is network connection. Now, if we go down to the IDPs in Maiduguri and the rest, now there's Starlink. So we cannot say the infrastructure is not there. The will is not there. And then the teachers are scared of change, right? And then a lot of them are not tech savvy. So I would say trainings, awareness, and then the most important key stakeholders taking the first big step. Government, heads of schools. As more and more players and users we get, the more the users, the more the ed tech companies strive. So if you are building a solution specific to public school teachers and you're able to integrate it into another solution that's been working already with the elitist group, you get something out of it, right? And that's where you see this collaboration comes in. It can work for everyone. Now, I want to give you this very simple example. If we need to take classrooms to kids in the IDPs, you know, a tab can be supplied and the data can be zero rated, right? And then if they are able to change the content like what we're trying to do here at Schooler, if the teacher from afar, from Lagos, can keep tweaking the content to conform to, I think that's us doing magic that has never happened before. Mm-hmm. And if a donor like UNICEF is helping in that process, the ability for them to track the children's performance, and see, I think it should go a long way. I was coming to Yola by road 2 days ago. We saw that a school was flooded, and I gave the example. So the kids are going to be at home saying, "Mom, no school because our classrooms are flooded." We passed one that the breeze took the roofs, you know, off, right? And then there will be no school there. So it's going to be more expensive to fix those places. You can't change flooding, but you can buy devices and give it to the people in their homes. So it is the mindset and the belief that will change the narrative. It's going to take time and it's okay. But it's high time we start teaching more teachers to be tech savvy and then keep like doing protesting to the government to make sure that, you know, technology leads the way, right?
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that, those examples to buttress the point that one thing we need first is the will, and we can start from where we are. But Abdullahi, in starting from where we are, many people still don't have that willpower. And I believe that there are some people, there are some organizations or some stakeholders who can enforce the will. And that's why we are still talking about partnerships. If you take say every teacher must start doing maybe recording their lesson notes, the way they write it in paper, transition to start using maybe Cori AI, for example, it is something that they could do on their phone. So I want you to just expound on that. As a stakeholder in the field, which areas have you seen that we need certain kind of partnership to push forth the will and make every actor stand on their toes and act fast?
Okay, as a member of the MasterCard Foundation at the CCL, fellowship, right? I've seen a lot of people trying to do exactly what needs to be done. Like I said, it's going to take time. But once we support each other and work together, we're going to achieve results faster. For example, Schoolinka, Sabitich, all trying to help teachers, because the teachers are some of the most important stakeholders you need to put, you know, into consideration when bringing educational technology into the whole landscape. Because if the teachers don't adopt it, I think it's going to be a big problem.
I like the way you are talking about how one edtech startup can plug their solution into another startup. So we're talking about collaborations amongst edtech companies, which is really great. So I was saying, what collaborations do we need in cases where the solutions are great, teachers are ready, but the cost of subscribing to this platform and that solution is really high? What kind of collaborations do we need? Where students and parents are also concerned about, oh, I need to pay for this subscription fee, or teachers are saying, I'm interested, but I don't know how exactly to use it. What kind of collaborations do we need to see amongst the relevant stakeholders to ensure that we're not just building solutions and they are really great, but people can't use them as well?
Well, then that's not the solution, I must say, right? If people are not willing to part with their money, it means you need to go back to drawing board. And the essence of partnership, like I said, is to make the solution really attractive and a no-brainer that the person needs to pay for it, right? Sometimes when you plug in Schooler onto your platform, it helps you collect money so that you guys will share. That's what partnerships are, right? Me too, maybe it won't work till I get X other person before I charge. Now, I believe then there needs to be going back to the drawing board. Let me give you this instance. Teachers need to spend 40 hours every week creating lesson plans and lessons. Now they are able to do it in only, you know, 80 minutes. Do you think teachers will not pay for that?
Okay. So,
but if they don't want to pay for it, well, they can continue doing their own ways. But I'm very sure a lot of them will pay. Let me give you, I think, feedback I got from my support engineer.
They're ready to use it. Then the teachers themselves using Cori AI. But like you mentioned earlier, when we started this conversation, where the quality assurance people go into schools, some schools are already taking registrations digitally, but quality assurance team is saying, we want to see it in pen and paper. So how do, those are the kind of bottlenecks that I'm talking about. What kind of...
Yes, Abigail. So you remember what I said? I wanted to answer the question based on my own perspective where I can explain, right? And I said, brick and mortar schools have been obsolete. Technology is the only way. So the partnership I'm talking about will be how the technology companies can come together and be a very strong voice. If the technology is good, teachers will not have a problem paying. If the technology companies are strong, the government have no option than to listen. So this is my own way of thinking around everything. You have to start one before moving to other. But if I am Schooler and I have only 5 users, and you are Abigail.com and you have 3 users, we don't have a voice. If we come together and we're 8 users and we start growing and we're 2 million users, I think we can say something and the government will listen.
Yeah, thank you so much.
So that's sort of where I'm coming from.
I quite get your perspective, which is really important. And yes, why we may always be talking about, oh, the government needs to hear. You're talking more about what can we do now to even get
the... Sure. Right? You need to prove to the government that this works, yeah, right?
Yeah.
So you know, it saves time. Let's see increase in performance. When government is seeing that, less malpractice, better performance, more engineers coming, more robotics, this, that, I think everybody will want to jump on that ship. But you have not done ordinary, you want to show extraordinary. I think you have to do it. Every day I say this to my team, you have to do ordinary before you do extraordinary, right?
Yeah. Okay, so if you look at the landscape in the education technology space in Nigeria as it is today, How will you rate the voice of the sector? How much power does the sector's voice hold today to be able to move anything at the government level or school leaders level? And how do you see that growing in the near future, maybe in the next 5 years?
Well, I would say the voice is not audible, right? Because everybody is running their thing. TT from Niger Kids, you know, has formed a group 2 years ago, over 3 years ago, trying to bring all of us together. I really hope any of more players listen to conversations like this and we actually speak about things like this, right? And so that the voice becomes stronger. I believe not even in the next 5 years, in the next 2 years, we're going to see remarkable change. With programs like this fellowship that we're doing at CC Hub, right? We are like a family now of 12 companies. If I see Olu succeeding, you see it in the WhatsApp group and all, we're all cheering each other. If we genuinely mean it and genuinely collaborate and have amazing partnerships, if I come to you with a partnership and it doesn't work, tell me it doesn't work. This is my view. Let's get a win-win partnership. Our voice is going to become stronger. Because like Joseph came when he, Joseph said when he came around during the masterclass, we are all in the business of, you know, improving learning. So if we really have that conviction to improve learning, we will all come together and make sure that it works. So that's what I would say. The voice will be stronger, I feel, in the next 2 years. This is the first cohort. In just two more cohorts, you'll have a family of 36 people that speak with one voice. And I think the voice will get to the 36 states. Okay, so in the next 5 years, I think we'll get somewhere.
36 people getting to the 36 states in Nigeria, speaking with one voice and challenging people at the center of power to bring about the change we desire in Nigeria's education sector. It's been wonderful speaking with you, Abdullahi, and I like how we have wrapped it up. Conversation went to saying we don't have to do extraordinary, we don't have to think about extraordinary partnerships yet. Let's do amazing well with ordinary things. The little changes we can make today, the little collaborations that we can make amongst ourselves as EdTech practitioners, and strengthen that voice to be able to create change on a larger scale. Yeah, thank you so much, Abdullahi, for joining us on this podcast show today. And like I said, it's been amazing listening to your insights, which is really actionable. It's not just something that everybody can come on any show to say, maybe things they've read on the internet to say, oh, we need government, we need this and that. You're talking more about how can I collaborate with the next person, how can we plug in our solutions together, how can we strengthen the voice. And if we can do that over this period of the next 3 years, we would have a stronger voice that would move the government and other important stakeholders to create the change that we need. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Abigail. Always a pleasure.
Yeah. So to you, our dear listeners, I hope that you've been able to pick one or two things to hold on to action in your various spheres of influence as education stakeholders. To stay updated on other engagements and shows that will be coming up on this platform, do well to follow us on social media, on Instagram, Facebook, X, and LinkedIn at CC Hub. Thank you so much, and that'll be bye for now.